Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Purifying Truths with A Star. Today, I have the pleasure of having Miss Crystal Franklin with us. Welcome, Crystal.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I am so honored to be able to be on here and be with you all today.
We are humbly grateful to have you. You are talking on a topic that is something that touches all of us. We all have money. We all spend money. We all need to know how to manage our money better. But before we get into that, I just want to introduce Crystal to you all that do not know. Crystal Franklin, well, she is the CEO, yes, CEO of Love My Credit Financial Services. That covers a gamut, people. I suggest that you visit her website, okay, because she does so much. Crystal, like most of us, has a background of growing up without the knowledge of knowing about credit and how to develop good financial habits. That caused her to kind of fall into a whirlwind of credit cards and with high interest rates and putting down deposits and things of that nature that many of us know all too well. Well, Crystal decided, you know what, this is not the life for me. She pulled herself up by her bootstrap, opened up her own business, and now her mission is to help others. She has the heart to help others with her financial service. She educates, not just on credit repair, but she helps us to manage our money, knowing what to do with it, when to do it, how to buy a home. It ranges from A to Z. If you want to know about what to do with your finances and how to manage it, Crystal's the person that you want to talk to. Once again, Crystal, welcome. So we'll just jump right in.
Thank you again.
Absolutely. Thank you for being on the show today. So please tell us, why do you believe that debt tends to follow some people more than others?
So for me, what I have found through just doing this for as long as I've been doing it, I have found that a lot of times it's just a lack of education. We're not getting educated on the concept of finance as children. And so we're going into adulthood and even past, you know, to later adulthood, not really knowing the importance of money, the importance of credit, the importance of finance, because it regulates everything about us as people. It regulates our jobs. It regulates our, you know, ability to be able to know where we're going to stay. It regulates where we can, military status. It regulates so much of everything that we want in life and need. It's just so important, and the educational factor isn't there. And so I feel like that has tend to be the issue why debt tends to follow us. We just don't know how to get out of, or we just don't know about debt enough to be able to fix it.
Understood. And I agree with you. You know, when I was in school, no one taught me, quote unquote, finance, especially not in, high school or middle school or that such. You know, I could have chose to take it in college. But certainly, you know, media is showing us, oh, you want the big house. Oh, look at here. You can have the, you know, 2.1 kids or what have you. And all of this, quote unquote, status symbols, but no one shows you how to get there. And I feel that just as you do, that it is a lack in certain neighborhoods where we don't get to learn about finance, unfortunately. And when we do get to experience it, sometimes it's too late. And speaking of being too late, would you describe the vicious cycle of debt to us?
Sure. So with debt, debt tends to happen when people take out more than they have income coming in. So it's trying to follow the Joneses, if you want to put it in technical terms, or what terms in which we tend to use. Mm-hmm. We're trying to follow a lifestyle in which we can't afford. And so it puts us into a debt situation because we're trying to buy things that we typically can't we can't manage. We will try to buy things, and it puts us in a situation where once we have it, we can't maintain it, so we end up having to give it back. regardless of what it is, it could be a car, it could be, housing, it can be, we tend to, if we have the opportunity to get, we don't look at the bigger picture of, we look at the approved, you can get it, but we don't look at, the long term of it is how do we maintain it? And so that's where we run into the debt at, is because we tend to try to live outside of our means. And it's one of those things that, we want, as human nature, as just creatures of habit, we want to be able to show we have better. And so even if it is outside of our means. And so, sometimes it just makes people feel good to be able to have what they would consider nice things, even if they can't afford them. And so, that's where debt starts, is just not being able to know what you can and cannot afford, and making for sure that you're living within your means.
Indeed. And certainly when, ABC Credit Company says you can have this credit card, just because they're giving it to you does not mean that you can afford it. Would you please kind of explain the backstory behind the credit cards and what the business side of that is? Because most of the times when they're offering us credit, we're fresh out of high school. We don't have a job. We don't have a credit history. What's the
Absolutely.
back point behind that, please?
Yeah, so credit card companies understand the cycle. They understand who to target to. They understand they do a lot of targeting that, they market to people in a way in which they know how to get the best bang for their buck. And so you will see fresh out of high school. I haven't seen a student yet who has graduated from high school and hasn't received their first credit card offer. At least I haven't talked to one that haven't. Because they know, fresh out of high school, you're not going to understand finances. You're not going to understand credit cards. You're just going to see money. And they know that the mindset of the typical kid is they don't look at a credit card as credit in a way in which it can help you for a short period of time. Pretty much, kids look at a credit card as free money, something that they don't anticipate wanting to or having to pay back, or the negative effects that it can have if they don't pay it back. And so that becomes the problem, is because they understand the mentality of kids. They don't get financial education in schools. So let's go ahead and send them a credit card. It doesn't even have to be much. Let's send them a credit card for $3,500, and we know that they're going to get that credit card. They're going to activate it immediately, and they're going to go shopping with it. They look at this as money. They don't look at it as a way of building their financial future. So they understand this, and they prey on that. And not only to that factor, they understand that kids, and I use kids because, people fresh out of high school, I look at them as kids. And so they understand that they're not going to look at the terms and agreements page that comes along with that credit card, those 2 and 3 pages of small word and text. They have that all formulated out to be exactly the way that they need it, so that they know that these kids are going to be disinterested in wanting to know what they're signing into. They just see the biggest thing on the page is going to be approved for this amount. Here's your card. That's what they make it seem like. And they put in the small print, pretty much, that they're pretty much going into these high interest credit cards, that they're ending up having to pay these annual fees that are ridiculous. Because they can have a credit, they don't even tell these kids in the top print where they have the big fonts that every year they're going to have to pay $89, you know, and this is a roundabout, every credit card is different, mm-hmm. but you know, from, you know, some of the typical ones, they pay $89 to $99 a year annually to even have the credit card. So that means if that kid even just activates it and doesn't use it, so they still have the money on the card, they still are going to acquire a $89 fee without even using that card. And so in 2 years, you know, if the card is only $200, they've pretty much paid, you know, they've given them a card and made free money. They don't even have to use the card in order to inquire additional money off of these kids. So it's all a system, and kids don't understand that. They get in above their heads. And like I said, a lot of times when I talk to kids, they look at it as free money, and it's just a lack of education.
And then that just propels them into spiraling, you know, more and more debt, spiraling into more and more debt. You know, it's so important that also, as we learn about finance, that we also learn about appreciating and accepting who we are and where we are, because most of this comes from, like you said, wanting what the Joneses have. You know, we need to know what we can afford and be content with that. You know, there's so many things that media puts in front of us with the diamonds and the flashy this and the flashy that. But, you know, in the end, that doesn't matter. You know, 20 years down the road, that's not even the new fad. And I think that's what is overlooked, which is certainly why education is needed.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. And to piggyback off of what you just said, media understands kids. Media understands the mind frame, and they understand what they need to tell you and what they don't. A lot of times, because I've worked with a lot of people, and a lot of times with people that they're seeing on TV with these flashy jewels, these, you know, cars and things of that nature, these things are rented. But they make it seem like it's theirs. So these kids are like, I have to obtain this because I want to be like so-and-so. And don't know that this isn't their true lifestyle. It's all a facade in order to gain attention. And so this then starts up the mindset that in order to be able to be, you know, a higher class or at a higher set standard, I have to be like so-and-so, and not knowing that so-and-so doesn't even have that. It doesn't even belong to them. You know, it belongs to someone else. It's rented. There are so many people renting vehicles to take pictures and things of that nature. And people see it and like, hey, I want that. Not knowing that the person on the opposite end actually doesn't have that themselves. So they're setting you up for failure. So it's all a mindset. It's all a mindset and being able to, especially teach our young people to be able to look past that and understand the real, because they're not going to be giving it up front.
Understood. Many of us, you know, when we're young, we don't want to hear it. We know everything, honey. Everybody before us is just slow. They didn't get it, and we know everything. And so we grow up with kind of, you know, we enter into adulthood with that same mentality that I know and you don't. There's many adults out here that still have that same mentality. You know, they're walking around in their 30s, 40s, 50s even, suffering the consequences of what they began in their youth, still trying to, quote unquote, keep up with the Joneses, and now have a family also to carry. So please explain to us, why do you think that credit education is overlooked? Regardless of the age, that's something that's usually a sensitive subject. You know, let's not talk about that.
Right. For me, I have found that it tends to be overlooked because we don't grow up understanding and learning the value of credit and finances. We learn about money for sure, but we don't learn about credit. We don't learn about maintaining our finances. You know, I know for sure, I don't know for anybody else, but I can't remember ever one time being able to sit at a table with my family and we talk about ways to make money or ways to save or ways to invest or ways to, you know, speaking on ways in which not only do we are we able to get money, but how do we keep money? We never had those conversations. You know, credit was never a topic in which we talked about. I can also remember the negative connotations that came with credit when I was growing up. You know, I always heard, and I've actually said it myself because this is what I grew up hearing, you know, well, I don't care. You know, they can just add it to my credit. I got bad credit anyways. It was like mm-hmm. a thing to say because everybody else around me was saying it. So it's like, this is the norm, you know, just add it to my bad credit anyways. It's not like I'm going to have good credit anyways. And so this mindset put me and probably many other people into a vicious cycle of definitely, you know, putting it into the atmosphere, because I'm definitely a one to, if you speak it into existence, it happens, to just having bad credit. You know, I had exactly right. what I said I was going to have. Just go ahead and add it. I don't care about paying you. Just add it to my already bad credit. I didn't understand the concept behind it. And so that I think that lack of education as children, that growing up not understanding, you know, you can go through all of, you can go 12 years through school, you can go additional 4 years through college and never be taught anything about finances. And I think that that's one thing that it should be top priority,
mm-hmm.
but it's not.
You're right. You're so right. And we're so nonchalant when we say, oh, just add it. You know, who cares? Just add it to my credit. You can go ahead and put that on my credit report. I'm not going to pay you anyway. But then there comes a time that we wake up and mm-hmm. we've had so many things added to our credit. And there's something that we do want. We want our family. We want our children to, you know, have a place to call home. We're sick of moving from A to B to C. And so then we want to get it right. Now, it's never too late. We could have made it easier on ourselves, but it's never too late. I just want the audience to know that Crystal have helped people your age, whatever that is, older and younger, to transform our credit and to actually get things. I mean, I know personally, she's helped people get approved for homes and credit cards, even business startup loans. So it's never too late. Getting back though on topic, Crystal, please tell us, what do you think is the age when education should begin being taught to our children and understanding the way the world is? Most parents are working. So yes, at home, but then also at school.
So I think there is no specific, when kids grasp the understanding of money, I think that that is the appropriate age of being able to start the conversation mm-hmm. About finances, money, credit, those things that are going to be vital to them growing up and being able to live a life in which they are actually happy with. And so if I had to put an age on when I would say is the best time to kind of hone in and when kids have a better grasp and understanding would be in middle school. Those middle school age kids have an understanding. That's when they're starting to develop the friendships as far as, you know, they're right there at that point where they're not little kids anymore, but they're not quite grown. They are just trying to find their way. And I think that that is the best place to start, is that middle school age child who is just, who is very open to anything, very open to just knowledge in general, because you can help mold them and get them ready for those high school years, those college years, when they need finance and, you know, credit the most. So I definitely recommend starting it there. Because middle school kids are that's the point in which that's when you're having to go buy the more expensive shoes. You know, Payless isn't working anymore. Mm-hmm. Walmart shoes and clothes aren't working anymore. You know, now it's time to go to the mall and shop. Now it's time to go and, you know, I want name brand this. This is them trying to gain an identity. And with that identity, that's when that financial education talk needs to come, because you know, when you're building an identity as a kid, this is going to take you into your adulthood. So if you're growing up thinking, I am not worthy if I don't have on $1,000 pair of shoes, or I'm not worthy if I don't have on a, you know, $200 shirt, then that sets you up for failure as you get into your adulthood if you can't maintain that lifestyle. And okay. So that's where you need to start having children understand that it's okay. You know, we can do what we can do. You still, you know, you can listen. I'm a Walmart shopper, and I tell my child all the time, you know, yeah, we can take you to get this $200, and I put it in perspective. We can go and get this $200 shirt if you want. But wouldn't you rather be able to go and get 4 and 5 and 6 different outfits that look very, very nice? Nobody's going to even look at the name. You know, if they're looking at the name of your clothes, then they're too close to you. So, mm-hmm. You know, I put it in perspective in which it becomes enticing to children to be able to say, you know, hey, I don't need that in order to look nice. I don't, you know, I don't need what society says that I need in order to be who I am. And so, you know, like I said, the middle school age for me has been the best for education.
Understood. And that is definitely an age group that is impressionable. And I love the way that you tie it together, because it's not just about the finance. You know, finance ties into self-esteem at every age. But we have to understand that, you know, what's in our pockets doesn't define who we are as a person. And that right there is the main point that has to be drilled in, taught to the youth so that they make better choices.
Absolutely.
So what's the importance of having a credit history? You know, my grandma and them, they dealt strictly with cash. They didn't want no credit, nothing to do with no credit. If they couldn't buy it with cash, then they wasn't getting it. But today, credit history is important. Why?
Well, credit history is important because that's the foundation of building your credit score, where a lot of people are going off of your credit score to get you approved, to get you jobs, to get you everything that you need in life. You know, that credit score, and I'll say your credit profile, which is your credit report, is definitely as equally important, but people understand the score, and that's what a lot of people will tend to go off of. So knowing that foundation of how to build a good credit score, how to build a good credit profile, it's very, very important. Understanding the elements of a credit score becomes equally important, because you won't be able to maximize your credit score without understanding the elements that go into forming it. And so, you know, it's funny because I do hear a lot of older people, you know, they will shun credit cards. And you don't need a credit card, but they still, a lot of them still have good credit, and you know, and they value their credit. They understand credit, but they don't understand credit cards. But they don't talk about the other things that they do get that will suffice in that credit card slot. Like, you see a lot of older individuals with store cards. Store cards do the same thing as a credit card. Mm-hmm. You know, this is, so you'll see older individuals with store cards. So they're building their credit up without having to do it with an actual physical Visa or MasterCard credit card. But they're getting those points within that credit score model. Within what they call the FICO score model, they're getting those points. And so they're able to still maintain their credit. Because I don't know too many people, too many older people who don't have a JCPenney's card, who don't have a Macy's card, who don't have, you know, those types of cards, which are equally, they work equally as a credit card for building credit history. And so I think that's where, like I said, it's a lot of lack of education, because you will hear a lot of older individuals shunning credit cards. And that's because people don't know how to use them appropriately. They look at them as debt because, you know, if I don't know how to use it, and it has put me into hardship, it automatically gets put into the negative category, you know. But if you use it the appropriate way and seen the benefits of it, a credit card is great, you know. Mm-hmm. A credit card is awesome. And I recommend everybody have at least one. One credit card is essential with what I call financial freedom. And the reason I say that is we all are going to run into hardship. You know, there's going to be a time in which our paychecks won't be enough, you know, where we may need an extra $50, $60 to just get us through. Having that credit card as a backup where you have $100, $200 on there, that right there is your money. That allows you to get through for that month. You don't have to go out and borrow. You don't have to get sucked into these predatory lending loan places where, you know, you're paying ridiculous amounts for these payday loans. You don't get sucked into the cycle of having to do things for money. Doesn't have to be just negative, but you don't have to go out there and borrow. You don't have to, you know, you can be able to maintain your finances all in house with just you being able to set yourself up in the right way in which to be able to have that extra money available, or extra credit, I'll say, available to get you through. And so it's just all about education. This is, it's what it all boils down to, is just understanding how to make the things that you have work for you, not against you.
Right. And it is important to have a credit history. I certainly believe that as well. You know, many jobs look at your credit history. You know, they don't, not necessarily pulling your FICO score, but the score tells a lot about you. It tells, you know, if you are disciplined, you know, if you do things in a timely manner. Please help us to understand just a little bit more about what an employer or someone other than someone looking to offer you credit could gain or could learn about you from your credit history.
Sure. So as it relates to employment is one of those newer factors that the credit bureaus have been allowed to extend to employer agencies to be able to use as a determining factor for you to get a job. A lot of people, because they don't know that, they will just, you know, have in the back of their mind, hey, so-and-so got the job because they're better than me. So-and-so was able to get this because of, you know, I was the better candidate. And this is one of those things that it sits heavy on us, because we start to feel, you know, somewhat failure or defeated because we feel like somebody had a one up on us when we felt like we were the better candidates. And not knowing that, you know, your credit score and your credit profile could have been a determining factor of why you did not get that job. And it's usually used in a manner of you have one or two candidates, or you have two candidates who are equally matched in, you know, what they're looking for, but they need one more determining factor to be able to figure out which one is better. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they will then pull your credit report to look at that and determine who takes care of their finances, who, you know, they will use that as the determining factor. And so that's why, you know, maintaining and having good credit is an awesome thing to do and to keep up, because you never know when you may have to go for, you know, for new employment, and that may be the determining factor for you. And so, you know, and you can tell who looks at your credit. You know, go back and look at your credit report and see if your employer is listed. If your employer is listed on there, nine times out of 10, your credit was pulled at some time. That's how mm-hmm. the credit bureaus are able to, that's how you're able to determine who has pulled your credit. Your employer will pop up on your credit report. That's why some employers pop up and some employers don't. If they have pulled your credit for any reason, then it has to show up. That's part of the the reporting requirements is that consumers know exactly who had access to their credit reports. So you can go on your credit report today and look under employers and see what employers are listed. That means your credit was pulled at some point during the employment process.
I love that. I love that you share that we can look and see who has pulled our credit, because many of us just look at the score. We just want to know the number. So please just delve a little bit deeper into that. How can we look and see?
Sure. So all you need to do is just pull your credit report. And so there's many ways to be able to do that. You can use one of these. Well, I'll say the first one, the free method, would be to go through annualcreditreport.com, which you see all the time on TV. Mm-hmm. Everybody is eligible for one free credit report from all three major credit bureaus. That's TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian, once a year. So you can go on there, you can pull it from online, or you can request that they mail you a copy. And you can look on there. The credit report is separated into multiple categories where you'll see usually at the top, there'll be the score. If the score is provided, then it'll have different variations of your name, or what we call personal identifiers, which it'll have your name. It'll have addresses in which accounts that are on your credit report are linked to. Then they will have a section where they have employers. So these are employers that have pulled your credit report at some point in time. Then there's your credit profile, which includes all open lines of credit and closed lines of credit that have reported to the credit bureaus. And then usually last on the page will be any derogatory collection or collection accounts. Where, you know, the primary creditors were unable to get you, which normally will be kind of in the middle. And then at the bottom will be, it tends to be the collection accounts. So these are when the creditors have been unable to get you and to be able to get their money from you in some type of way. So they have sold your account to a collection agency. And so that collection agency will now report. So you can actually see on your credit accounts that have been sold. And so you get hit twice, because you'll have the creditor, the original creditor. And I'll just use a simple one like AT&T. So you go and buy a phone, you leave the plan without closing it out correctly. You have a balance. AT&T tries to collect on that balance. You don't pay it after 90 days or so. It's usually 90 days after non-payment. They will go ahead, close that account out and close it out as uncollectible items. And they will then sell your account to a collection agency. And then that collection agency will then go and report this new account that they have now acquired on your credit report. So you'll see two accounts. You're being hit twice for not taking care of one account. And this tends to happen very often. And so that's basically how the credit report structure is. But you can get a copy of your credit report from annualcreditreport.com. Then you have the third party companies such as Smart Credit, Identity IQ, a host score, something. It's a bunch of them. If you Google credit report, a bunch of third party companies will pop up. And so you can choose one and get it there. It's usually a fee associated with that. If you go through annualcreditreport.com, it's free. One credit report a year. Unless there's changes to your credit report, and then they'll send you a new one for free. If you go through a third party, there will typically be a fee associated with it, typically between $9 and about $25 to pull a credit report, a three bureau credit report. And then you have the other marketing sites such as Credit Karma, such as Credit Wise, which I think is associated with Capital One. it's a bunch of other ones. Credit Karma is the biggest one. And you can use that and it will give you, it'll only give you two bureaus. It doesn't give you Experian. It only gives you Equifax and TransUnion, but you can look on there as well for free and see what's being reported on your credit report.
Okay. All right. Good to know. Now, Crystal, you have stated in many occasions that your mission is to educate as many people as possible to avoid falling prey to the credit industry as you did. If you will, just briefly tell us a little bit about your past and what motivated you to even decide to open up your own financial business.
Sure. So just a brief story. It started when I wanted to buy a house. So I didn't care nothing about my credit prior to, and I'll be honest, you know, I think honesty is one of those things where people lack. I'll be honest, I didn't care anything about my credit until it was time for me to want something and get it. And so I went out to get a house. So I had a good job. I was paying my bills on time and I thought that was good enough. You know, it was just at that point, everything in life seemed to be going well. Went out for a house, was denied for the house because they told me my credit score was too low. The recommendation of the loan agent or the loan company I was trying to get the loan through said, you know, hey, the typical process is go ahead and, you know, either fix your credit on your own or the best thing would be to go through a credit repair agency. It'll take about a year. And then once you fixed your credit, go ahead and come back to us and then we'll talk to you again, pretty much in brief. And so I went home and I was devastated. I called a couple of companies. They gave me a couple of recommendations. I called, you know, Googled it. And I just could not at that time afford the prices in which credit repair companies were charging. There were $1,000, you know, $1,500 to repair your credit. And I'm like, I don't have that. I was a single mom. I didn't have that to be able to just give away at the time. Mm-hmm. And so I cried a lot because this was something that I really wanted. You know, before it really didn't matter. It was more of, you know, okay, I didn't get it. Oh, well, you know, but this was something that, you know, you get to that pivotal point where you're like, you know, this is the next step. I want a house. And to be told, no, come back in a year seems so far. And so it hurt me. And so I allowed it to bother me for a day. And then the next day I got up and I said, this is not going to be the end all of it. I'm going to fix it on my own. I'm going to do it on my own and I'm going to get my house. I'm going to show them that I really want this. And so I researched everything and anything I could find on credit. And, you know, long story short, in 35 days, well, I'll say closer to 40. In 40 days, I was able to do enough with my credit in order to get me approved for my home. And so that was that motivation to want something better. But it took me to be denied for something I really, really wanted for me to take it seriously. Mm-hmm. And the reason that the business aspect came about was because when I went back to my loan agent and my realtor, because I was trying to buy a new build home at the time, my loan agent was like, this is incredible. You know, we usually see, you know, 6 months to a year coming back. You came back and, you know, and my score was low. My score was like was like early 500s, like 50 something. Then to move it up until the six, I think I was like 640 at the time. I was able to get it over to 640. And so they were like, that is incredible. You know, can you help more people, you know? And so at the time I was like, let me just get me together and then we'll talk about it. And so I was able to, you know, get approved of my house. And then I then took on the word, you know, it sat with me for a little bit. I'm like, okay, you know, it made me feel good to be able to get it. I know that there are other people who are in the same situation that I can help get to where they're trying to go. And so that's where my company started. I took the advice of the loan agent and the realtor that I was working with and started a credit repair agency. And from then on, I've just been helping people day after day.
Amazing. So grateful for your help. I see that you have published many free courses, you know, so as you said in the beginning that you weren't able to afford, you know, what the credit repair companies were charging. You have not only helped others by doing things and educating them, but you even offer free courses. Please help us to understand why you don't charge. Why are you offering free courses?
I'm a nurse by trade. And one thing that one of the doctors told me that stood out to me one day, he told me, he said, if you educate and do work, then the money will follow. Like, you don't have to go out and chase it. You know, just do good work. People will see it and they will want to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. And so it stuck with me for a long time with him saying it. And he said it in general. But it stuck with me even when I started my business, because I was like, you know, if people understand and can see what it can do for them, then the money will follow. Then they'll be willing to pay me to help them further. But, you know, with my mission, it was more of, let's just get out there and stop a vicious cycle of people being just victimized by all of these companies because of lack of education. And you don't know what you don't know. So, you know, with me, I believe this. I believe, you know, if I can help you, if I can help you stop being part of that, if I can offer, well, let me say it like this. If I can offer you the education, then I feel like I've done the work. Now it's up to you to want to take it. And that's the reason I offer a lot of free stuff, is because a lot of this stuff you can do on your own, and I would prefer you to do it on your own. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is because if you do it on your own, you'll have a much better appreciation for it. And then hopefully you will teach it to the children and people that are in your life that can benefit from it as well. And so we as a society can get out of that vicious cycle of how we look and see our finances. So offering free courses for me was my way of saying thank you for the people who have helped me to get to where I am. And so I understand with that, that there are going to be people that I can offer free stuff to all day long, but they still are not going to do it, but they still have a goal. And so that's where my service comes in, is to offer services to people for free that they can do on their own. The education aspect is the number one. And then as the true service of my business model is to, if you don't want to do it on your own, then you know that from the information that I've given you for free, that I know what I'm talking about, and you can hire me to do it for you. So if you have the lack of time, you have, you know, the lack of motivation to wanting to learn, then you still don't have to be part of that vicious cycle. You can still do something to improve your life. And that's where I come in and I make my money, is if you just don't want to do it yourself. Like I said, I'm always going to encourage you to do it yourself, because I think that that's the most important thing to me, is having that knowledge and that appreciation. Mm-hmm. But I understand that people, just not everybody wants to learn about finances and credit. And I understand it, and I'm okay with that. And so that's where I get my money from. I get paid from those people who just don't want to. And so, you know, it's an even balanced mix, I guess you can say.
An amazing aspect. Wow. A wonderful business model. So Crystal, you had spoke about generational wealth, and please just explain to us, why is wealth building important, not only to us, but to the next generation?
Wealth building is important because we can't leave our jobs to our kids. Mm. You know, everybody's heard that saying, and it's true. It's very, very true. You can't leave a job to your kids or their kids. You can only leave assets, things worth something to them, businesses, and this may come off bad, so please don't take it in that way. But I like to, this is about telling the truth. But a lot of times in the culture, in my culture, the African American culture, we look at death as, it's definitely a bad thing we never want to see. But other cultures look at death as profit. They set themselves up for after death because we understand we're only guaranteed two things in life, to be born and to die. And so other cultures set themselves up in a way in which they set themselves where wealth not only is they're not only acquiring it through when they're alive, but it's also acquired at their death. Because, one of the things that I have found is a lot of times, and it hurts me to my heart, is to see so much debt being left after we pass away. I see it all the time on Facebook. I see GoFundMes all the time. I see let's have a car wash for so and so to be able to pay for their burial. Let's have this to be able to keep their house. Let's be able, and generational wealth is important because you don't want to leave your family with debt. You want to leave them with something that's going to benefit them and help them to have a better life so that they hopefully can do the same thing and leave their children something. And so you're not leaving a continuous ongoing snowball of debt every time somebody passes away. And so I say that to say, that's why having life insurance policies in place, having wills in place, and this all has to do with generational wealth because, a lot of times with death comes, policy amounts being paid out that are very, very good starter points for people's children, people's grandchildren. So having those insurance policies in place, having businesses that they can have that they can pass on to their children are important. Having one of the biggest things that one of the things that I'm trying to get into, which is very good, is having real estate, being able to flip real estate to be able to leave your kids something. Just having that, those different amounts, having investments of different sorts, having those things in place to be able to leave to your children outside of debt is important. So that they don't continue on that cycle of, okay, well, grandma left us nothing, mama left us nothing, and they don't leave their children nothing. And they end up losing houses, they end up losing cars, they end up losing all of this thing, these things that people have worked so hard to get when they were alive. And now they've lost everything because they didn't understand and didn't have the means to be able to keep it going. And so just having those different aspects in place, having, like I said, insurance policies, ha appropriate insurance policies, having investments, having real estate if you can get into it, having just different ways, businesses, having different ways that you can leave your family something outside of death is very, very important. That there alone, I think, helps to stop the rat race of that continuous debt cycle.
Understood. Very good. We certainly should leave something behind besides bills to the next generation. It puts them in such a hole. Now, Crystal, we know that you are an author as well as a nurse. We know that you have two, I believe two of your books are on Amazon. Tell us, what's next for you, Crystal? You're doing so many good things.
Yeah, thank you. One of the next things that I will be doing is starting next month, I will be offering business credit services. So that is important to me. For people who want to start businesses, it's not only, a thing of starting a business, but being able to have funds to be able to support your business so you don't fall into the cycle like most to be able to, you go out of business within a year or two. So to be able to develop funding to be able to maintain your business over the longevity cycle, and that goes into being able to leave that now for your children because you have a sustainable business. So being able to help people with business credit is important, and that's what I'll be offering starting next month. And then also next month I'll be partnering with a few people. And we're offering financial education to children. So we have a whole financial program for children, and I'm so excited about it. And just on a brief, what it's going to entail is a child is going to take a position, and it's going to be somewhat structured like a video game to keep them interested. But it's where a child takes on an identity of a college student. And that college student will have a job. They'll have, normal things happen. And every day they have to live this life as this college student, and they will be thrown monkey wrenches. So they'll be given a set certain amount of money from their job. Then they, may run into a hardship where, they had a car and, their car broke down. So now they have to determine, with the money that they have, do they pay for their car? Do they take the bus? They're given these different options and scenarios that they have to navigate, which are real life scenarios. And to be able to help children start thinking about these types of things. And so this is a program that we're going to start giving out to middle school and high school kids, definitely, to set them up for being ready for the college life. So that's something that I'm very proud of and excited to be offering. So that'll be coming. So we'll be having a kids challenge come next month as well. And just a lot of speaking and free services, a lot more free services will be being offered.
Amazing. That is exciting. All right. Well, Crystal, it has been a privilege of having you on, giving us little nuggets and tidbits about our finances. For those of you that don't know, Crystal has been interviewed and published on CBS, Fox, and NBC. She has also written content for the biggest medical accredited institutions. We are not just talking to Joe Blow down the street. She knows what she's talking about. She's experienced it, she's done it, and she's been recognized for her work. Anyone in the audience have any questions for Crystal at this time?
I have a
All
question.
right. Well, we thank you so much for joining us here on Purifying Truths. Crystal, please tell us, how can we connect with you?
Sure.
Oh, I'm
So,
sorry. Is somebody saying something? Oh, go
yes,
ahead.
I don't know if you can hear me. Can y'all hear me?
We hear you now.
Hi, Crystal. Hi, Amelia.
Hello. Hello.
Hi. I was listening to you. You were saying that, I think you said, like, my phone was cutting out. I think I was in a bad location. You said you were able to repair your credit in like 40 days.
Yes.
What did you do? I didn't hear that any of that.
Sure. So, just to give it kind of, there was a lot that happened. So, but it required me to pay off some stuff. So I had to call creditors, to pay off items. So I didn't pay for deletions. I paid down my credit cards that I had to the lowest. I paid them down all to 1%. I got additional lines of credit. At the time, I was able to get added on as authorized users on some of my family's credit cards. So that was able to boost me up. I got added on to about like five cards that had really, really good histories to them. And so that skyrocketed my credit. And And that's pretty much in that short period of time, that's kind of what I did.
Oh, wow. Okay. It was something else I was thinking that I can't think of it now, but hopefully when I go back and listen to your podcast and get your, like your business information, you know, I can find out more about, you know, what you do, you know.
Sure.
Also, you mentioned something about a kid playing a game. Do you already have like certain kids already lined up for this?
No, we don't. It's going to be something that we're going to put out there and have kids to sign up. It's going to be free for them to sign up. Okay. And there's going to be a dollar amount award at the end for the winner who's able to manage their money the best. And so whoever wins our challenge will get the prize at the end. And so this one, the one that we're going to be launching in July, will be only on like budgeting and savings and credit. But then we'll also be launching one probably the following month that will be on cryptocurrency. We'll be teaching children about the cryptocurrency as well and the stock market. So we'll have a stock market challenge that they'll get education on that people will be able to sign up their kids for probably the following month.
Okay. Sounds good. Did you have a question? Okay. All right. That sounds excellent. I have some to line up already. Yeah.
Okay. Wonderful. Wow. Wonderful.
Thank you.
So Crystal, please tell the audience, how can they connect with you?
Sure. So you can either connect with me on my website, which is www.lovemycred, and it's just CRED.com. So www.lovemycred.com, or you can reach me on Facebook at facebook.com and then / lovemycred or Crystal Franklin. That's my business page and then my personal page. So either one of those avenues, most of the time people get me through the website. I have a feature on there for being able to send me a message. So that becomes the easiest way. So you can always go to my website. If you have a question, I have no problems with answering questions, no charge. Just send me a question on the on my website. At the bottom of the screen, there should be an option for sending me a message or leaving me a virtual voicemail, and I will get back with you with the answer to your questions.
Amazing. And we just glossed over your books, but obviously your books are on finance. And where can we find those if we're looking to purchase?
Sure. I have two books on Amazon. Both are named Keys to Financial Freedom. One is Keys to Financial Freedom, a 12-month planner, where it's just a financial planner to help you just budget and save. And there's some credit tips in there. And then I have another book that's Keys to Financial Freedom, the home edition. And that is my step-by-step guide to how to buy a home. So it takes you from A literally to Z to the loan signing process, where I give you pages of what the loan process that you'll be signing looks like. So both of those are available on Amazon. You can go to my website, and on the first page, there's direct links to both of those books. And I also have a free ebook that's 99 ways to improve your credit that I give away for free on my website as well.
Amazing, amazing. We just appreciate all that you're doing, for us and for the next generation, how you're just pouring out these nuggets and helping reshape the future by teaching us about our credit. Thank you so much for being on Purifying Truths, Crystal.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And thank you for tuning in to Purifying Truths with A-Star. Tune in every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. for an exciting new guest who will illuminate the world in the various facets of life. You can connect with A-Star on Facebook and Instagram. Also, on my webpage at www.facetsofastar. On Facebook and Instagram at Facets of a Star. Shine bright.